And this really is a great gospel chapter, which I hope will do you all good today. Let me open with a question to those of us who are Christians. And the question is this: when did you last share the gospel with a non-Christian? Some of you may be able to answer that question very quickly, but for others of us, I wonder if it's been so long that we struggle to remember the last time we did it. There's some research by a Christian organisation called Barna a couple of years ago, which looked into the spiritual conversations that people have. And as part of that research, Barna asked hundreds of practising Christians whether they agree that every Christian has a responsibility to share their faith. And what Barna found was that whereas 25 years earlier, when they asked that same question, 89% of Christians agreed that every Christian has a responsibility to share their faith. Well, now that figure had dropped right down from 89% to 64%. The report concluded that there is a growing reluctance amongst Christians to share their faith. And I wonder if that could be said of you. And if it could, and if Barna's report is correct in its conclusions, doesn't it make you fear for the world around you? If ever we've seen the need for Jesus Christ to break into people's lives and bring healing and hope and freedom and forgiveness, surely it's now in this climate. And it sadly, it seems that as the need around us becomes more apparent, so too does our own gospel apathy and reluctance. And because of this reluctance, I think a vicious cycle has been created in which the hesitancy of Christians to share the gospel renders the church irrelevant and backwards in society's eyes. And this in turn seems to fuel our own growing reluctance to openly share our faith. Well, in light of these things, I hope our time in Paul's letter to the Romans this morning will inspire us and, if necessary, change us. Have a look at Romans chapter 10, verse 1. And I think we'll all agree that we could learn a thing or two from the Apostle Paul when it comes to evangelistic zeal. Can you see there in verse 1, the desire and passion that Paul has to share the gospel with the lost, even if those lost people don't seem receptive and have so far rejected the message, like these Jews that are on Paul's heart. Well, time prevents us from studying the whole chapter this morning, so I want our focus to just be on three verses, verses 13 to 15. But even in those three verses, I'd like to draw out three truths which I hope, if we grasp, will make us more like Paul, bold and unashamed and passionate gospel sharers. And each of these truths addresses the question, why do we need to share the gospel? Why do we need to share the gospel? So here's truth one, which I'm taking from verse 13. We need to share the gospel because it's so good. Have a look at verse 13 again with me. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The gospel is summarised in verse 13 is so good, but I think sometimes we forget this or don't realise it enough. There was a story in the news a few years ago about an IT worker from Newport called James Howells, who made a huge mistake when having a spring clean out in 2013. During the tidy up, he found an old computer hard disk in his drawer and took it to the tip along with some of the scrap. It wasn't until a few months later that James realised that that hard disk that he'd dumped actually contained his collection of a virtual currency called bitcoins, a currency which had grown massively in value and for him would now have been worth a staggering £63 million. Can you imagine throwing an old hard disk away, thinking it was scrap, when actually it was worth 63 million quid? Well, the poor man has spent the last 7 years trying unsuccessfully to convince Newport Council to dig through that landfill in the hope that his fortune may be rediscovered. What was James Howell's mistake? It was that he'd forgotten that that old hard disk contained such rich treasures. He'd never have treated it that way and dumped it if he realised, would he? And maybe we've forgotten the rich treasure of the gospel. And maybe this causes us to be hesitant in sharing it. Well, here in verse 13, we see something of how good the gospel is, what treasure it is. We need to share the gospel because it's so good. So why is the gospel so good? Well, I'm going to mention three things from verse 13. Firstly, the gospel is so good because it's for everyone. You can see that at the start of the verse, can't you? It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. One of my favourite chocolate bars is a Yorkie, especially a Yorkie raisin and biscuit bar. And some of you may remember the slogan they used up until a few years ago. It was, Yorkie, it's not for girls. Well, here Paul wants to stress that part of what makes the gospel so good is that it is for everyone. Look at how many times he mentioned this just in the few verses that Paula read to us. Chapter 9, verse 33 says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Chapter 10, verse 4, Christ is the end of the law to righteousness to everyone who believes. Chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess, you will be saved. Chapter 10, verse 11, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Chapter 10, verse 12, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. And then our verse, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The gospel is for everyone, no matter who they are or how others think of them. The gospel offers forgiveness, redemption and salvation to everyone who believes, whatever they've done or however low they've sunk. The gospel deals with our deepest desires and addresses our deepest problems. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That means the gospel is relevant to everyone you know and everyone that you've ever met. Do you see how that makes the gospel such good news? And doesn't it give you the confidence to share the gospel, knowing that it is definitely what everyone needs? Here's a second truth from verse 13 as to why the gospel is so good. And it's this. The gospel is so good because it's so simple. It seems to be a trait of some humans to make straightforward things complicated, doesn't it? We've got a neighbour who catches the train to work, and bizarrely, every day when he walks to Trowbridge train station, he goes the longest way to get there. Now, in itself, that might not seem odd. Maybe he just enjoys the walk. But what is odd is that taking this long route often leaves him with not enough time to catch the train, and so we'll see him running down the Bradford Road in a panic to try and get there. Why doesn't he just cut through Inox Road like everyone else does? Or why doesn't he cut through the park? It's a mystery, but it just goes to show that humans have a way of making simple things more complicated than they need to be. Well, in this chapter, Paul describes the Jews in a similar way. Rather than accepting the gospel of Christ, they went the long way round, as it were, but tragically in their case, they never make it to the destination. Have a look at chapter 9, verse 31. It says they pursued a law, but did not succeed in reaching it. Or chapter 10, verse 3. They sought to establish their own righteousness, that is their own way of getting to heaven, and yet they failed dismally. What Paul is showing in this chapter is rather than straining and striving to get into heaven by our own efforts, that's what we see in verses 5-7, all we need to do is realise that God has come near, that God has come down verse 8, and so call out to him for help. You know, the gospel is so simple, you couldn't make it up. And the gospel is so good because Paul is saying here that all anyone needs to do to be saved is call out to God and plead for his help. How straightforward it is for us dirty wretches to become friends with Almighty Holy God. There's no ceremony or process or payment or qualification needed. No striving by your own efforts. Simply call out and God will save you. The gospel is so good because it's so simple. So simple that even a little child or an illiterate grown-up can cry out and reap its riches. And that leads on to the third thing I think we see in verse 13 as to why the gospel is so good. It's so good because it's for everyone. It's so good because it's so simple. And it's so good because it's life-saving. What does the verse say? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We're perhaps more aware now than ever of the need for life-saving equipment, aren't we? Face masks and ventilators and hospital beds and the like. Well, in Romans, Paul makes it clear that the gospel is so good because it is life-saving. What do you do now if you discovered a box full of brand new face masks in one of your cupboards at home? Would you keep it there, collecting dust? Or would you offer it out to those that need them? The gospel is so good because it's life-saving. And life-saving equipment is not meant to collect dust or to be stashed away in times of need. You do know that, don't you? Well, I hope you've been reminded already today of how good the gospel is. And because the gospel is so good, we should feel compelled to share it, shouldn't we? But Paul moves the argument on, he moves it up a gear in the next two verses by showing that it's more than just a matter of compulsion. So let's move on to the second truth now that addresses that big question, why do we need to share the gospel? And from verses 14 to 15, we see that we need to share the gospel because people won't be saved if we don't. I hope you can see that in the logical argument that Paul presents here. Now, you may be reformed in your Christian faith like I am, holding dearly to the doctrine that God is sovereign in salvation, that God is sovereign in softening and hardening hearts and in calling people and in showing mercy to whom he wills. And Paul presents all of these truths in this letter. But notice that the sovereignty of God in election does not in any way reduce the need for Christians to go out and share the good news. Paul is saying here that people won't be saved if you don't play your part. So can you see in verses 14 to 15, the steps that Paul says would normally need to happen for someone to come to faith? They need to call out to God for mercy. But they can only do that, verse 14, if they believe. But obviously, people can only believe in God if they've heard of him. And Paul says for people to hear, others need to preach or tell them the good news. And for that to happen, verse 15, these gospel tellers need to be sent with that gospel message by God himself. We're being told every day at the moment, aren't we, in those government coronavirus briefings, that everyone has their part to play. And I think you can see that in these verses. God has his part to play. He needs to send people out with the gospel. That's what verse 15 says. Now, do you think God has failed in that part? No, he hasn't. He calls people to preach and lead churches, and he calls people like Chris Morgan or like Jason and Andy Murphy to devote themselves in a particular way to evangelism or to mission. But you know, that's not the limit of God's sending. In the context of this verse, we can say that God sends out the whole church with the good news of salvation. Can you remember the verse on the big blue wall at church? It seems ages since I last saw it, but it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And that command, that sending, is for all of Christ's people. It's for all of us here who are Christians. Do you see the part that you have to play in people coming to faith? God has given you the gospel, which is so good, and he's told you to go out and deliver it. You may have seen a news story a couple of months ago about a postman in Virginia who was arrested and jailed for failing to deliver mail. Over an 18-month period, he collected 16,000 letters and rented a storage unit to stash them in. He said at his trial a couple of months ago in February that he planned to deliver them soon, but today had been overwhelmed and just hadn't been able to find the time. The postman had good intentions, but good intentions don't get messages delivered. Are you holding back on giving people the message God has for them, hoping one day, like the postman, you'll find the time? God has not failed in his part. He's devised a way of salvation and has entrusted his messengers, that's me and you, to go out and tell that news. Do you know God has given you circumstances, contacts, and opportunities which are unique and true for no other person in his kingdom? Perhaps for your neighbours or your friends or your family members or your colleagues, you are the only Christian they know and perhaps the only Christian they will ever know. How do you expect them to be saved if you don't deliver that message? Don't store it away. You've got an important part to play. So here's a suggestion. After the service, why not write down the names of some people who you would love to be saved? When you've done it, why not then think about each of them in light of the steps Paul mentions here that are necessary for salvation? Remember, Paul says that for someone to be saved, they need to be told the news. So how many people on your list have you told the gospel to? For those who haven't, make that your prayer, that you'd have an opportunity to do just that. But once people have been told, it says here that they also need to hear. That sounds strange, doesn't it? But I think what Paul means is that they need to let those words sink in. They need to understand. So for those on your list who you have told the gospel to, how many would he say have heard it in that sense? Why don't you pray that those people would hear and that hearing would lead to the next step, which is believing? Well, there may be those on your list who you have told the gospel to and they have heard it and they have believed it, but as far as you know, they're holding back on that last essential step. They've not yet called out to God for salvation. That may be true of some listening in today. It was certainly true of me for 2 years before I became a Christian. I believed the gospel, but I hadn't yet called out. Well, for those, let's pray that their belief will lead to action, that they will call out and find salvation in Jesus Christ. There's nothing they need to do more. Well, I hope you can see that we all have our part to play in sharing the gospel with those around us. We've seen that we need to share the gospel because it's so good, and we need to share the gospel because people won't be saved if we don't. But I want us to move on to a third reason now, from the latter part of verse 15. And I think what we see here should prompt us just as strongly, if not more so, than the two truths we've already considered. The truth we're just about to consider is striking and breathtaking. And the truth is this: we need to share the gospel because God sees us as beautiful when we do it. Can you see that in these words? Paul quotes some words of God from Isaiah chapter 52, where God says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." I guess not many of us are feeling particularly beautiful at this time, are we? How many of us are longing to go back to the hairdressers. How many of us are starting to wear clothes around the house that we would never be seen outside in? I actually wonder how many of those who phone into these Zoom meetings or who turn their video off do so because they just don't want anyone to see them. But you know, what really matters is how God sees you. And God sees beauty in a very different way to how the world does. The world may see that battered, bruised, disfigured man dying on a cross as an object of derision or pity. That's not how God sees it. No, God looks with pride and delight as he sees those wounds, those scars, those cries. And the world may despise and even hate you for living for Christ, but not God. No, he looks on you and will one day say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He looks on you as you deliver that message to people in need and says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful." And I think what gets me here is that God views you not just as being beautiful. Think of that word he adds to the front. How beautiful. You see, the word beautiful is not enough to describe how God feels when his people deliver the good news of the gospel. An extra word is needed, not just beautiful, but how beautiful, as if words aren't enough. If heaven itself were able to go out cheering on a Thursday night at 8 p.m, it would be for key workers who sacrifice themselves so that others can be saved. And maybe what is so amazing is that anyone can be seen like that in God's sight. I just read a book about a Muslim lady called Rifka Barry, who came to faith in Christ as a young teenager. She went from darkness into light. And how did that happen? Because a 12-year-old girl sat down next to her once at school and said to her, "I'm a Christian. Would you like to come to church with me?" And you know, don't you, that 12-year-old girl's act, which was not eloquent, but which did lead to the salvation of Rifka Barry, made her very beautiful in God's eyes. Doesn't that make you want to share the gospel? You're beautiful when you do it, no matter how people respond. Whether they come to Christ or not, in God's eyes, you've done a beautiful thing that delights him and makes him think, how beautiful are the feet that went there to do that? We need to draw things to a close. And I hope the Holy Spirit will be using these three truths in you today if you have been reluctant to share the gospel. We need to share the gospel because it's so good. We need to share the gospel because people won't be saved if we don't. And we need to share the gospel because God sees us as beautiful when we do it. Well, in closing, I want to give you the opportunity to think about the gospel opportunities that this unprecedented time offers to us. It seems true that many people are thinking about life and death in a way they have never thought before because of the coronavirus. It seems true that many people are extremely worried about their health or their finances or their loved ones or their marriages, and they just don't know where to turn for help because they don't know God. Seems true that many people have got more time on their hands now than they've ever had before. Maybe because they've been furloughed or made redundant, people have time to think, to read, to talk. It seems true that local communities and neighbourhoods are coming together to display kindness and care in a way that's not been seen for generations. And it seems that video technology like Skype and Zoom and just the good old-fashioned phone or letter now have a position of much greater importance in people's lives and offer great potential for gospel witness. But if these things are true, have a think about what things you can do at this time to share the gospel that perhaps have not been possible before and may not be possible when this shutdown finishes. And may we all be bold and passionate and active in sharing the good news. And may we all know the help of the Holy Spirit in our work for him. Amen.
Do you want to unmute?